I'm not real clear. When I'm in a group, it's hard for me to separate my experience of the energy from the group experience. I don't know what, sometimes I feel like it's difficult for me to go in because the group is holding the energy at a different place. And I'm wondering if that is in fact the case.
No. When you are in a grouping that is attempting to expand its viewpoint and expand what is immediately perceived, you are always affected one by the other. And so if you come into a room looking for unfamiliar faces and looking for discord, and if it is indeed there, you can magnify that by noticing it and by relinquishing your own, we are not speaking to you in general, we are speaking to the grouping. But when you go wherever you go, if you do not keep yourself centered with your own intention, and this can mean walking into the grocery store, and if it seems to you that everyone is grumpy around you and they are running into you with their carts and you are looking to blame them, we are saying look to yourselves. Because what you are noticing is what you are looking for.
Our minds are the largest regular structures. They're not galaxies. Our minds are the largest regular structures. They're not galaxies. Our minds are the largest regular structures. They're not galaxies. Our minds are the largest. Our minds are the largest structures. They're not galaxies. Our minds are the largest structures. They're not galaxies.
Perhaps you'd better explain a little bit more about the multiverse, the idea of parallel universes. Is this like a sort of dimension of possibilities?
Grounded.
Not mere possibilities. The parallel universes
really possible. And something else too. You must believe that you deserve it.
You are on a stage now. of openness and a state of allowing. You reverse the process and you become the purity of the emotion, the Father, the Creator. You reverse the process. And you become the purity of the emotion.
Aristide has tentatively accepted conditions to allow his return to power. The conditions Aristide reportedly agreed to include condemning street violence and refraining from reprisals against political opponents.
Truly seek the ultimate game, go now. Who's sending these messages?
Roger. Robot never knows.
Never knows, huh? All right. Good night.
Major production support for each.
He sent me to. I went to Paris, Rome, and London.
Not bad, Harry.
That was in 1976, yes.
Nice fringe bennies.
Hello?
Nice fringe benefits there.
Oh, definite. Oh, yeah, you got that. That's why I stick around.
Well, I don't know that you can put a price tag on psychic powers, but...
I'd like you to do, my friend, right now, I'd like you to do a little game here. Would you like to play a little game? It'll only take a second. All right, what I want you to do is I want you to, if you are sitting alone by yourself, I want you to sit beside someone. Because what I want you to do is I want you to sort of pair off in the sense that I want you to choose a person to look at that's sitting right next to you. All right?
Are other versions of the universe that we see around us, each slightly different, each containing copies of us, or some of them which are so different may contain no copies of us?
Now what I want you to do is I want you to just simply turn and look at the individual that's sitting next to you. Now, I prefer that if you are with a friend, do not look at the friend. I want you to look at someone that is not a friend.
And if you try to smush it down, it just breaks, which is not what happens in the crop circles. We also discovered, in addition to the cellular changes, we had germination rate changes. And these are, in my opinion, the most profound thing we found so far. The embryonic tissue in these plants is severely affected. Seeds in very immature crop, if there's a formation, often don't develop at all. None. The seed head will develop. The plant looks normal. But when you open up the seed heads, there are no seeds. Sometimes, if the plant's a little bit more mature, the seeds do develop, but they are stunted and, in fact, will not germinate. In other words, the plant has been rendered sterile. This is an amazingly significant finding, I think, and I don't understand why the Department of Agriculture, if nobody else, is looking at this. Curiously, though, another aspect to it is, if the crop circle occurs in more mature wheat, or oats or barley or whatever, often then the seeds are somehow rather energized way past normal and will germinate at up to 5 times the rate of normal.
What kind of a system is that that allows decent men, good men, to make the decisions that have led to the thousands and thousands of deaths that have happened in Vietnam? What kind of a system is it that justifies the United States?
Now, what I want you to do is I don't want you to say anything. I don't want you to do anything but one thing. I want you to look right into the darkness of the pupils of the person next to you.
So these energies, depending on the time at which they hit the plant, at the intensity level of them, the moisture content of the plant itself, and perhaps other factors of which we're unaware,
and not feel in the least bit guilty about it. For many of us, we have an unconscious guilt about being happy, and you need to remove those feelings from your subconscious once and for all.
The Father, the Creator, the Manifestor.
Say that I'm in the Merchant Marine and in a very beautiful and enchanted land. I would have written to you sooner, but since at times things around here take on the aspects of war, and in a very beautiful and enchanted land.
I'm still a little too petrified to laugh.
No, you won't laugh because it's not funny. But if you still want to hear it, I'll tell it.
And they interact only very, very slightly in phenomena called quantum interference phenomena.
We were hypnotized, you see. And this is a very interesting thing, because if you think about the world that way, then the next thing you ask is, what would be the sources of hypnosis, you see? And I go right back to the university. I would say the universities in this present age are the sources of hypnosis, also coupled with the media to a certain extent. And then there are the sources of Wake Up, which is this show, which...
Power. Howard was just a ball of reckless energy. You could see he was a man struggling to contain himself. But then he recognized one of the ways he was going to do that was by practicing TM. And I think it was fairly effective for him.
I'll read, I was brought up on a farm, and this is a poem, a little poem about the kind of demons that there are in farm life, which Garrison Keillor doesn't mention very much. It's called What the Animals Paid. On the farm, it seemed that the animals had to pay. The Hampshire ewes in their wooden pens stood with shiny black hooves close to each other. They will pay with their wool, with their wombs, with their eating, with their fear of the dogs. Everything has to be paid. Horses pay all day. They pull stone boats, and the ground pulls back. And the pigs? They paid with their squealing when the knife entered the throat and the blood followed it out. The blood, steaming and personal, paid it. Any debt left over, the intestines paid. I am what I am. The pig could not say that. The women paid with their bowed heads. And the men, my father among them, paid with their drinking. They were demons shouting, pay to the last drop. I hid some of mine. I refused to pay it all. And because I refused, I'm writing this poem today.
Come on, you cowboys, I'll sing you a song. Stay back from the wagon, stay where you belong. You think you're right handy with gun and with a rope, but I notice you're bashful when handling the soap. When rolling the bull for your brown cigarette, I'm rolling the dough for them biscuits you eat. When you're cutting stock, then I'm cutting steak. When you're wrangling horses and I'm wrangling cake. When you're hazing doggies and batting your eyes, I'm a hazing dried apples that aim to be pies.
He's lying, and that's why he's central to this case, because he hadn't even been to Rockingham at that point, and he's tracking in that blood at that point.
Times the rate of normal. So these energies, depending on the time at which they hit the plant, at the intensity level of them, the moisture content of the plant itself,
would we feel guilty about being happy? Well, it's because somewhere along the line, our parents, our schools, our churches, and our friends
and were able to achieve a union with God. To describe in more exact details what has happened to a person when he has succeeded in extricating himself from his senses and his thoughts,
just look at them. Don't say anything. Now, what's going to go on is you're going to have all kinds of weird stuff come up for you. Like the stuff that's happening right now.
Getting to them? Did you get to them in Santa Clara last night?
Oh, at Brown University 2 weeks ago, all the feminists boycotted. You see, I'm trying to show, and it's succeeding very well, that it's the Kremlin. They're the Kremlin, okay? They turn a cold stone wall to any dissident voice. I am a feminist. I was a feminist 20 years before they were, and the idea that they are pluralistic, that they are open to debate, they're open to other ideas, I am exposing the whole lot of them, coast to coast. They have failed miserably. Look, a 700-page book came out from Yale University Press 2 years ago, under the whole history of culture. They do not read it, okay? They refuse to take it seriously. They defame me. They revile me. There you see the forces of repression, okay? They have silenced men and dissenting women for 20 years, okay? They're just Komissars. They're apparatchiks. I'm exposing it. Or they're Stalinists.
Well, I'm a damn good hand, and a rope and fool, and a taking the dolly, and that's my rook. I'm a tie, tie up, tie, I'm a tie, tie. Well, it takes my raps, and it snubs her down, and I give her a head if she takes for town. I'm a tie, tie up, tie, I'm a tie, tie.
Now, please shut off the recorder to give yourself time to do this.
It was that I was referring to at that point. I was referring to the fact that there was a lot of talk about cover-up and that this must be avoided at all costs.
Now let's go forward with it. Up with the left leg, down on the left toe. Drag the right foot back and point it. Now lift the left leg slightly in front and slide. Point slide, point slide, point slide, point slide. This is an action where the right toe goes to the left heel, to the right heel. So you have toe to toe, heel, heel.
And that is the only difference. Be comforted with that. Do not believe it.
Your loyalty to your costume is touching. It is the same as your loyalty to fear. For my costume has clothed me. It has brought me here. Yes, it has. But it has brought you here in constriction.
Well, we tend to go gaga over the technology. We think there's going to be a techno-fix to end run around issues of democracy. The fact is, when I boot up on America Online, I'm immediately besieged by these pointers, these offers, these often centralized media sources that I'm being told with a click of the mouse I can find. Now, it's true I can find some other things, but when you have a capital-intensive capability to steer people in certain directions, that can have quite an enormous bias on what is, as a practical matter, widely disseminated.
Yeah, I think Norman's raising fears, and they're in the book, about the direction of the Internet as it stands now. It's certainly, in many cases, a valuable source of alternative information. There's a lot of groups that don't have...
If they didn't interact at all, it would be pointless postulating their existence. Because they interact very slightly, we have no choice but to attribute certain strange events in the universe we see to the existence of parallel universes.
So just look and be. Look at the individual. Don't lose your eye contact, my friends. Maintain it. Look them right in the eye. Now, you know what the real message is that you're giving when you look like this, you see? The real message is, I love you. But none of you are going to say that. Because, you see, then that will expose you. That will make you naked to the world.
To publish their own magazine in print, but they can put up a real nice web page. So it's sort of exciting now. We have fears about where it's going to go.
Not be manifested. That's the goal. If that's your goal, go for it. If it's not, don't. Don't waste each other's time at all.
And perhaps other factors of which we're unaware can either sterilize the plant or create some sort of an energized seed which will then germinate enormously quickly, very robustly, and without the aid of water or light.
Tomatoes are walking down the street. Papa tomato, mama tomato, and baby tomato. Baby tomato starts lagging behind, and Papa tomato gets really angry. Goes back and squishes him. Says, ketchup.
We'll set your cities on fire. We'll make the LA riots look like a picnic. We'll be killing our enemy all over the country. Leave Louis Farrakhan alone. Otherwise, we're gonna get busy with you. We are not gonna continue to feed our leaders to you like feeding meat to wild dogs and wild beasts. and to the Jewish community, you keep attacking the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. And as long as you attack him, I'm going to attack you with the truth. You just like J. Edgar Hoover. You're attacking all black people because you want to stop the rise of a black messiah. Yes, just like you stopped the rise of the first messiah, Jesus. Just like you killed Jesus, you want to kill the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. But you're not going to get away with it. We will strike back and destroy you in the most vicious manner if you come against the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. And if we'll do all that for them, then you know what I'm going to do if you come after me. All praise is due to Allah. Stop telling me to be careful. Be afraid. Look out. Tell the white man to be afraid because the black man is standing up today. Resist the devil and the devil will flee from you. I'm not afraid. Hell, we already dying. What the hell do we care about dying? We already dying. And besides that, I'm not a martyr. I'm a killer. All praise is due to her. I'm studying your law, your education, your school system, but I'm not your slave. I will never bow down to you. As I get prepared to bring on Dr. Tony Martin, the man who certainly fought hard on the front lines, we have some of the black nation's best scholars here tonight. But again, the black Holocaust is the most vicious, worst, and malicious Holocaust ever to exist in the annals of time, brothers and sisters. So stop being soft on your enemy. Stop being weak with your enemy. Look how they did in Somalia. Look how they did after the imperialists went into Somalia when our brothers struck back. Look how they did when they shot the white man.
set.
Okay, everybody, quiet on the set.
Scene one, take 10, Barker.
Joe Levison's office? No, I'm sorry, he's not in yet. May I take a message? Yes, Mr. Levy, I'll just call.
Levy never say that. He's either in conference, in a meeting. He's always in. Now, who is that?
Oh, Larry Levy?
I hope there was nothing in the trains this morning, was there?
Well, I don't know. The mail's late.
Well, go get him. Now! I want him back here before he arrives.
Adam Simon. I know we're not supposed to meet till next week, but a lot of heat coming out of this one.
We were meeting next
week.
Well,
yeah, I just wanted to plant the seed in your head just now, just so that, you know, we could...
So I'm booked up. I can't hear a pitch
right now.
Okay,
just picture this. Okay, it's a planet in the far, far future. It's a planet with two suns.
Who plays the sun?
No, suns. Large solar disks.
Listen, you got to run this idea by Bonnie Shiro.
The pictures they make these days are all MTV. Cut, 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 cut. The opening shot of Wells' Touch of Evil was 6.5 minutes long.
6.5 minutes, Walter?
Oh, 3 or 4 anyway. He set up the whole picture with that one tracking shot. My father was the key grip on that shoot.
Hey, what about Absolute Beginners? Man, that was an extraordinary shot.
What the hell was that? Never heard of it.
It's Julian Temple. It's an English film.
Learning English. We're talking about American movies. Of course, and welcome to the master.
Colorino, please.
I've got telescope.
Hi, Buck. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. What do you got for me?
Okay. Here it is. The Graduate, Part 2.
Oh, good.
Now, listen. The three principals are still with us. Dustin Hoffman, Anne Bancroft, Catherine Ross.
Mm-hmm.
25 years later, and so are the characters. Ben, Elaine, and Mrs. Robinson. Ben and Elaine are married. Still, they live in a big old spooky house up in Northern California somewhere. And Mrs. Robinson lives with them.
Mm.
Her aging mother, who's had a stroke.
Mrs. Robinson
has a stroke, so she can't talk.
It's going to be funny?
Yeah, it'll be funny.
With
dark
a stroke?
And weird and funny and with a stroke.
Okay.
Maybe it's not a stroke. Maybe it's... I don't know what
anyway,
it is.
Go on.
It's a malady of some sort.
Okay.
She's up there in the bedroom upstairs listening to everything that happens. They've got a daughter who's just graduated
from college. That's good. Young blood.
22, 23-year-old, like a Julia Roberts.
Right.
Excuse me. What did you let me do with these scripts?
That goes to Bonnie Shiro.
Okay.
And find out from studio security how Adam Simon got on the lot. I want to know.
Adam Simon? Okay.
Okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Julia Roberts comes
home.
Their
comes
daughter, on. The graduate.
Yes,
and she's
the new graduate.
The new graduate.
Yeah, the postgraduate.
Griffin loved it. He just wanted me to run it by you. It's a hardy band of human survivors.
Listen,
generations removed from the mothership. They have no
okay?
history, only mythology. They've lost all their technological knowledge. They have only rudimentary mathematical skills.
Write it down for me?
It's not about words.
No!
You've got to visualize.
Jimmy? Jimmy, are you okay? What happened?
Kid, 25
hey, kid.
Or less.
Are you all right?
I say, my name is Jimmy Chase.
Huh?
He just came out of nowhere. He ran right into the front of the car. I never saw him.
It's okay.
Hey, that's Adam Simon.
How are you doing, kid? I just had a meeting. I was just coming.
All right.
Yeah, it was good.
Rebecca's more name. Actually, you're much better looking.
Matter of fact,
No, I'm not Rebecca
Zed
DeMornay.
Ringer.
Thank you very much.
Do you know where Joel Levinson's office is?
Mr. Levinson, head of the studio.
And these guys.
Yeah.
But it's quite moving. It'll rip your heart out.
The similarities between them that Gilmore picks up are so extraordinary as to be. It's a rocketing part of the book, isn't it?
Mm. And it's a side of Gilmore that's altogether different. You get a sense of him in prison.
He's the most intelligent there. I mean, he's very, very intelligent when he's with Gibbs.
Yeah.
Is that because he feels, and he comes over much more intelligently, that's because that's his habitat, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, what you realize, looking back at all the time he's in Provo and he was acting so odd and so silly and is he a stupid man? What is he? He's absolutely out of his element. It's as if I were to find myself in Bucharest tomorrow, you know, not speaking a word of, you know, not even knowing whether Romanian was Hungarian or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And I was struck with that when I came across what Gibbs had to say about Gilmore. I realized, my God, that was Gilmore's element.
Have the courage to speak. I just want to ruin your life. I don't want to go for it, but I want to pretend that I do, on and off, because I like the up and down of keeping you wondering whether or not I'm willing to be in this totally. Because I've got you by the balls, Christopher. And that's my only method of controlling you. Have the courage to speak it to him. Because at least this way, when you hurt me, I can hurt you twice as hard, because I hold your immortality in my hands.
Now, admittedly, both those pasts are illusions. That they are simply there, fabricated, to give you a backdrop, to give you a basis of existence that is explainable and acceptable to others. But in that illusion, you have always included the knowledge of dominion. So even though it is an illusion, nonetheless, you have known dominion. When? You knew dominion when the servants served. In your history, when time was there as a teacher to afford you the opportunity of learning from your mistakes and from your successes, when it was there as a patient, ever repeating, ever returning teacher. And there was that time prior to the Renaissance, very clearly, prior to certain technological and limited patterns of development in Atlantis, in each of its civilizations, in Egypt, in it, in the Middle East and in the Far East, similarly. All spaces, all civilizations have at one point in their existence had time as the teacher, the patient teacher. Now, of course, in your attempts to dominate time, in your attempts to be in control of time, the dominator becomes the dominated, you are subject to time, and there's never enough of it.
By declaring, I'm here for you, I'm here for you, and then stepping off the mountain.
Give a green light to a picture like that, right here. We're going to go about 17 stories high if we can. We're going to continue using all the Sony products. Domo arigato to the Sony products, really. In fact, if you need someone to eat some sashimi with you, you can give me a ring, because here, right here,
I know that you're seeing it.
Girl. Traffic to Malibu is impossible.
Morning, Joe.
Sandy, park the car, please. Morning, Marty.
Annie. Hi. So, what's all this talk going around here about heads will roll?
The bank's putting screws to this. Herbert Goldman's son's coming out from Boston. I don't like it.
Eddie Goldman's a pipsqueak. Can't be serious.
You know, some changes are going on around here. It's always the way. It happened at Paramount 3 years ago. Columbia's going through it now. I hear we're looking to replace Griffin.
Griffin? I don't believe it. With who?
Burke, Patrick, maybe Larry Levy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I want to know why the security's so lax. That's why. Well, I'll talk to you about it later. I'm in the middle of the pitch. Okay. Listen.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. It's a TV star, and she goes on
like
safari
a
to Africa.
You're talking about a TV star in a motion picture?
No, not a real TV star. It'll be played by a movie star.
A movie star playing a television star.
Julia Roberts would be good. Dolly Parton would be good.
Dolly.
You know, I like Goldie.
Goldie.
Okay.
Great. We have a relationship, and that would be great. Goldie goes to Africa.
Goldie goes to Africa.
She becomes worshipped.
She's everyone. Well, she's found by this tribe.
Of small people.
but then she has
she's
to
found
go
by
back
this tribe, and they worship her. But
so,
then, and
oh, I see. It's a kind of like a gods must be crazy, except the Coke bottle's now a television actress.
Yeah, it's exactly right. It's Out of Africa meets Pretty Woman.
Well,
and she
but
has
you know
to decide
what?
Whether
you
to stay with the TV
do.
Show or save
it
this entire African tribe.
Hey, where's Griffin Mills?
Right here. Hey, you're Martin Scorsese.
How frequently you use that excuse, I would have done it, but I didn't have time. There's thousands of books I'd love to read, but I don't have time.
You don't want that to happen. You see? All right, you can discontinue it now. Now, anybody get a little nervous? But you notice that they were getting maybe a little tight, a little jittery in the stomach? Hello? Just wanted to make sure you're with me. Now, let me ask you, my friends. Now, all these things that are coming up for you, and only you know what they were. Now, they were all spontaneously coming up for you. You were automatically making judgments. Do you realize this? Then why were you having any reaction whatsoever? You see, you are already in your process of judgment. You are already in your beliefs. You were in your head. And even though you were looking at the eyes of the other individual, you really didn't want to be doing it. Anything would be better than doing this. My God, I'm nervous. This person's looking at the wart on my nose. I know he is. He's looking at the little hairs of my eyebrow. He doesn't like the way they're arranged. You're automatically creating stuff for the other person, you know? You see what I mean? And you're all doing it. You do it automatically. It's spontaneous. You can't help it, so forget it. Don't try to help it.
Cape Fear.
My old man worked for Hitchcock, too.
Yeah?
Rope. It's a masterpiece. The story wasn't any good. He shot the whole thing without cuts. I hate all this cut.
Oh, yeah? Well, what about,
Bertolucci, that great track he shot with Winger in Sheltering Sky? That's it. Touch of Evil. That was...
It's 8 o'clock.
Mom,
honest,
I have. Commissary, Whitney, I stuck my neck out for you to get this job. Who are you with?
I was there with Alan Rudolph.
What were you doing with Alan Rudolph?
Well, no, he asked me. He happened to have coffee, and he was telling me this idea he had. So what
Whitney,
am I going to say?
You're my assistant. You don't get involved with writers.
But I wasn't getting involved. I was just listening to this amazing idea he had. You,
well,
I told him he'd given it to you.
What's your pitch?
Is it the best? Well, is political scare you?
Political doesn't scare me. Radical political scares me.
This
political scares
politely
me.
Politely politically radical. But
is it funny?
It's funny.
It's funny. A funny political thing.
It's a funny thing. It's a thriller, too.
It's a thriller.
And it's all at once.
So what's the story?
Well, I want Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can talk to him. It's a story about a senator, a bad guy senator at first. And he's traveling around the country on the country's dime, you know, like that Sununu guy used to.
I see. So there's sort of a cynical political thriller comedy.
Yeah, but it's got a heart. In the right spot.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, he has an accident.
Yeah,
and he becomes clairvoyant, like a psychic.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a psychic political thriller comedy with a heart.
With a heart. And not unlike Ghost meets Manchurian Candidate.
Go on, I'm listening.
Anyway, he can start... gets to the president's mind, it's completely blank. Completely blank.
I can do anything.
I'd like a beer, please.
We don't have beer.
Oh, okay. Wine. Red wine, please. Of course, someone gets killed at the end. They always do in political thrillers.
Griffin Mills' office.
Yeah, I know that. Can you put him on?
It's an intriguing idea, Jim.
May
let
I
it sit with
calling,
me a couple
please.
Days. Okay, and we got
to
get somebody really dangerous.
He's in the
I'm
meeting,
with you there.
Good.
You know, Bruce Willis or Mel Gibson? Great, let me get back to you.
Thanks. Excuse me, sir.
Shit, lady. You'll get back.
Can I be knock anywhere?
Do you know how many times I have heard
Who is this?
If he don't get back to me, tell him.
Griffin, I read that.
Who's that?
I don't know. He didn't say.
What do you mean he didn't say?
I don't know how you're going to cast it, though. The lead character is a 50-year-old female circus performer, a fire eater.
Let me read the coverage.
Listen, are we still having lunch with Aaron Camp and his people?
Yeah, what time?
I made it for 1 o'clock. Bad day?
He's having writer's block.
Griffin, you have a meeting with Carter and Frank South this afternoon.
What time?
At 3 o'clock.
I'll be here.
Okay.
Put this morning's meetings on the computer.
All right.
Thanks.
Are you going now? I'll go with you.
No, I'm going to see Levison. I'll meet you there. Order me a Caesar salad and a Crystal Geyser. Thanks.
As soon as I get some time, I'll... Time is your master. But one time in the past, it was a teacher. It served you as it was intended to do it. You come into this world, as we talked a month ago in On Over the Kirchens, you come into this world which admittedly is a very complicated place, and you give yourself assistance. You give yourself a whole batch of servants, one of which is time. Time to learn, time to make mistakes, time as the cushion between the thoughts and the things you think. And rather than leaving it as the servant and letting it teach you in its great wisdom and in its slow movement and in its patience, you decided that you could dominate it, that you could control it, that you could make it work for you by forcing time. But it got you. And now you are its dumb servant, sort of going along aimlessly, waiting for time to decide what your life will be, to get old, to die in pain and misery, because time dictated it, to mock time until time decides what little tidbit you're going to have or not. Well, space was also your servant. To have the space and the mobility to do as you wanted to do it.
How to exploit that vulnerable side with a very like a fencing expert. He could find it and exploit it, even if it was only that big.
What you're about to hear is going to shock and disgust you because it's vulgar, even obscene. What you're about to hear is going to shock and disgust you because it's vulgar, even obscene.
Best thing to do is to give up. Forget the struggle. Forget about getting anywhere. Now that we've got all that aside, now we can move on, you see?
Which is the natural opposite, which has to exist.
That isn't this an anti-radio program?
No, it's an anti-hypnosis radio program.
Anti-hypnosis.
what you're about to hear is going to shock and disgust you because it's vulgar, even obscene.
Have programmed into us that we have to suffer to be happy.
Now try it with me. Start off, plant the right toe. You're transferring weight to the left toe, to the left heel, to the right heel. So right toe, to the left toe, to the left heel, to the right heel. Toe to toe, heel, heel. Now for the upper part of the body. Remember that ribcage isolation exercise we did earlier? Well, this is when it pays off. Reminder, plant the feet. Lean forward, stick the chest out. Now move in a counterclockwise direction.
In all civilizations, there was a time when space was similarly your teacher, your servant, to learn the relationships of space and the power. But then you start deciding to cut up space and control it. We'll draw a border here and there and there and there, and this is my space. And you stay off my space. And if you cross onto my space, I will kill you.
And that becomes very important because you remember he slips up and says, in the Bronco at some point. Did he get in that Bronco? Did he put a bloody footprint in that Bronco?
Repeat some of the poems and some I won't. Should we let that one go? On a farm it seemed that the animals had to pay. The Hampshire ewes in their wooden pens stood with their shiny black hooves close to each other. They will pay with their wool, with their wounds, with their eating, with their fear of the dog. Everything has to be paid. The horses pay all day. They pull stone boats, and the ground pulls back. And the pigs, they paid with their squealing. When the knife entered the throat and the blood followed it out, any debt left over, the blood steaming and personal paid it. Any debt left over, the intestines paid. I am what I am. The pig could not say that. The women paid their debt with their bowed heads. And the men, my father among them, paid with their drinking. There were demons shouting, pay to the last drop. I hid some. I refused to pay it all. Because I refused, I'm writing this poem today.
Everybody on Bear Creek.
Target orange, grid reference, checks. Target distance, 8 miles.
Roger, 8 miles. Telemetric guidance computer into orange grid.
Telemetric guidance computer into orange grid.
Target distance, 7 miles. Correct track indicator, -7.
Roger, 7 miles. Set GPI acceleration factor.
GPI acceleration factor set.
Target distance, 6 miles.
Roger, 6 miles.
Pulse added, transponder active.
Pulse added, transponder active.
Target distance, 5 miles.
5 miles. Homing alignment factor, 0 mode.
Homing alignment factor, 0 mode.
Target distance, 4 miles.
Roger, 4 miles. Auto CDC into manual teleflex link.
Auto CDC into manual teleflex link.
Target distance, 3 miles.
Roger, 3 miles. Target in sight. Where in hell is Major Kong?
Hey, what about Major Kong?
Two of the strands linked. In fact, my view is that none of the four strands can be fully understood without reference to all the other three.
The first question is the union, the Players Association, and why did the Players Association get involved in this so-called negotiation?
When you sometimes play that wake-up record where you have the Calliope playing and that sort of thing, and Edison had a thing in his lab called a clacker, and when anybody ever fell asleep, he would wake him up with that. And Edgerton in his lab had an electric coil, and when a student would fall asleep, he'd hit him with that. So
a Zen master carries a club, a stick.
Yeah. So you know, we all have our. So I can talk about where we are in free energy. Maybe that's what we should get into, or what's on your mind.
Well, I thought, why don't you do that for a short time, and then we will see what the listeners want to find out.
Okay, fine.
Up against the wall, De Palma.
Whatever, you know. Recently we got, one of the interesting things that's happened is that I'm now a co-patentee in India with Tiwari for a space power perpetual machine. And this is an Indian government patent with Tiwari in mind.
Paramahansa Tiwari is the high official in the atomic energy industry in India who built a machine based on your model.
That's right.
Next to the Tarapur Atomic Energy Station.
Exactly.
And who won 20,000 rubles.
Rupees.
Rupees. Oops, I spilled the beans. 20,000 rupees by the German anti-gravity...
German field energy.
Field energy.
Gravity field energy conference in Hanover.
And he got first prize for his free energy machine. So now, governed to the examiner... of Patents and Designs, Government of India, Patent Office Branch, Todi Estates, 3rd Floor, Sunmill Compound, Lower Parcel West, Bombay 400013. It's to them, from the Government of India, Department of Atomic Energy. Dear sir, please refer to your letter number 172/BOM/87/1282DT.15.6.87 and my patent application number 172/BOM/87DT2.6.87. The name of Mr. Bruce De Palma, De Palma Energy Corporation, 1060 Channel Drive, Santa Barbara, California, 93108 USA, may please be included in the above application as co-inventor. Virtually yours, P. Tiwari. Okay, so you're the co-inventor.
Right.
Have you ever met him face-to-face?
No, but we write, and recently I've had a representative from him, a doctor... a doctor Guru Murthy, K.V. Guru Murthy, who has visited me, and they're trying to establish a liaison between me and them. So we can proceed with the development of this machine in India. And what's thrilling about this is that the size machine we're building, the 100 kilowatt machine, the reason we started with that size is because this is appropriate for a village which doesn't have any electricity at all. So we're primarily trying to go for a situation where we're not displacing the electricity systems that are in place, but going to places like villages in India and villages in Mexico, small towns, which have no electricity at all, and for which to bring in electricity would be incredibly expensive. So that's the plan in India, to make the village-sized machine, and that's the 100 kilowatts we're talking about. Now, I have some interesting things here. I've gotten, finally... some information about what the Navy's doing with homopolar generators, and they finally released a picture of an experimental ship. It's called the Superconductive Electric Propulsion Test Craft, Jupiter 2, and it was published in the IEEE Transactions on Magnetics, March 1987, volume Mag 23, number 2. And what the Navy has done has installed a homopolar motor. The first, I'll read the thing. The David Taylor Naval Ship R&D Center at Annapolis, Maryland began development of superconductive electric propulsion systems in 1969. These advanced systems will provide new opportunities to rearrange ship machinery and reduce ship size, weight, and fuel consumption. The machinery developed has been tested extensively in the laboratory under no load and full load conditions and also installed in the 65-foot test craft, Jupiter 2, to simulate seagoing operation. Jupiter 2 was docked at Baltimore's Inner Harbor and was available for inspection by ASC, and this is the Superconducting Society, 86 attendees and their guests. A complete propulsion system was installed and utilized. A 3,000 horsepower superconductive homopolar motor was directly coupled to the propeller shaft. The first complete system, consisting of a turbine-driven 300 kilowatt superconductive homopolar generator supplying power to a 400 horsepower superconductive homopolar motor, was constructed in the early 1970s. The system was installed on the test craft Jupiter II. On September 23, 1980, she became the first vessel in history to be propelled by a completely superconductive electric drive. This, along with 12 other at-sea demonstrations, represented the first large step in moving advanced electric drive technology out of the laboratory and into a more realistic operating environment.
Take care of my space all by myself, so I'll put my space with your space and with yours and yours, and then we'll call it our space, but it's still ours against them. We have now declared that this space belongs to us.
Dime a dozen out here, don't you?
It's all right, Celia.
You know this one?
Griffin, I don't think you've met Reg Goldman. You know his father, Harvey.
Yes, of course. Hi, Reg. That's from the bank in Boston. All right.
Reg is out here for a couple of weeks.
Great.
Business or pleasure?
A little of both, I hope.
Reg is thinking of getting into production, Griffin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Pete's work, doesn't he, Griffin? I like to play some tennis, though. You play tennis?
Tennis? No. I'm too busy.
See, I was just asking Walter here, do you know Meg Ryan? You know she's seeing somebody?
Yeah, Brad, she's married.
Shit. What about Winona Ryder?
Actually, Walter is the guy to talk to. Walter's got everybody's number.
Was there anything?
No. You're real busy.
I want that number, goddammit. I want that number.
Oh, boy.
What about this one here? Has she done anything?
Domination. And that space controls you. Once you establish those boundaries, you have to guard them.
Trinity Lauren, the girl next door isn't what she used to be. She lacks the finer things in life. But what she lacks most is a little intimate conversation. Call me. She wants to know how you really feel. She misses you. Call me. It's like making love when you tell me how you feel. I get goosebumps all over. Call me. I want to talk to you. I want you so bad. Don't stop talking, lover. It's like a dream that keeps me warm at night. Call me.
How can you go off to the Riviera? Someone might come on to your space. How can you even sit on your space in the middle of it and enjoy it? You've got to walk the boundaries to make sure nobody gets on your space.
As you're leaning back, pull the ribcage in and circle like the Hulk. Pull it out. And roll it, push it way in. Come on. Do a great dance movement that gets its name because of its continuous motion, like the waves on the ocean. The simplest waving move is the arm wave, which looks like this. Even though the arm wave looks like one continuous movement, it's really made up of a bunch of smaller moves, and they're all put together. One, knuckles on the finger. Two, the wrist. Three, the elbow. Four, the shoulder. Five is a transfer to the other shoulder. Six, the elbow. Seven, the wrist. And eight, your knuckles. Go with me now. One, the knuckles on the finger. Two, the wrist. Three, the elbow. Four, the shoulder. Five, a transfer to the other shoulder. Six, the elbow. Seven, the wrist. And eight, the knuckle. Now we'll go back with it. From left to right. One, two, three, four.
We describe it in this way, but as you look
seven,
at it,
now,
yeah, we're talking of nations
extended,
and this sort of thing. We're not
knuckle.
Advocating all boundaries.
Two, there's your wrist.
Eliminate.
Three, both elbows. Four,
we're not advocating that your 50 states
five,
become one
now
state.
Change. Remember those early
you
test
move
sessions.
Hawaii over and Alaska test down and batch it on to California and Washington
seven,
or whatever.
Legs are wide open.
We're not suggesting that you eliminate boundaries
so
between north and central and portions of your western hemisphere or the eastern hemisphere. But we are looking at what you have done with space because at one time those
so
weren't
together
there.
Now, extend the arms. One,
those boundaries
the
weren't
on the
there.
Finger. Two, the wrist. Three, both elbows. Four, both shoulders up. Five.
Given the way you feel about what's going on and the sort of pernicious effects of corporate power and corporate ownership of the media,
President, I would not rule out the chance to preserve a nucleus of human specimens. It would be quite easy.
The sort of pernicious effects of corporate power and corporate ownership of the media.
Religion has never kept the devil up 1 minute from a night's thing out of my way. I'm mad. Get that thing out of my way. I thought I just wanted to kick the devil and I was going to take a shot at him. Religion is the opium of the people, one scholar said it. Religion is an immunization against reality. Religion seduces the minds of men and think that all they have to do is believe in a sacred cow or lick a crystal or kiss a statue or worship Buddha or bow at Muhammad or pray with beads or burn a candle.
And that's when space was your teacher. And as you attempted to conquer it and control it and dominate it, it ends up controlling and dominating you. Overpopulation in your space is crowding you out.
Oh, Brad. Yeah. What? No, we couldn't sign Angelica Houston for that project. She's booked for the next 2 years.
Yeah, like a ghost story, but it's not like Ghost.
We should do some.
Well, I understand.
It'd be called unnaturalized. It's a supernatural thing.
Joel, Griffin Mill. Friend of Jennifer.
No.
You're Griffin Mill?
Yes.
Really?
Good to see you. I'm a big fan of yours.
I have that tie.
You do?
Yeah, Jimmy, how are you?
Okay, how are you doing, Natalie?
I'm very good.
I don't know. Very funny.
Do you order for me?
Oh, my gosh. Hi.
Hi, buddy.
Hi, how are you?
Lunching with the enemy.
Oh, come on. So, what's this we hear about Larry Levy?
Larry Levy. If he had half a brain, he'd be dangerous.
Aaron says he's coming to the studio.
Aaron says, eh? Why would you believe anything he says?
He said it. It's authority, he said it. He's over there. With
who?
Angelica Houston and John Cusack.
Levy?
Yep.
He's in over his head. He's going to drown over there.
He's like the golden boy at Fox these days.
Did you see that thing on him in Variety last week?
Oh, big spread. Pages.
Sure. Angelica, Griffin Mill.
Oh, hi.
Good to see you.
You too.
You're looking great. Hiya, Johnny.
Hi.
Griffin Mill, big fan of you.
Yeah.
You going to be in Telluride this year?
Yeah. I'm going to be in Park City.
Oh, great. We'll see you there.
Okay.
So what's happening with Glass Box?
Can we talk about something other than Hollywood for a change?
Yeah.
Yes.
We're educated people.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'll call you later.
See you around. Now, do you remember when I told you your daddy died in the POW camp? Well, this here is Captain Coons. He was in the POW camp with Daddy.
Hello, little man. Boy, I sure heard a bunch about you. See, I was a good friend of your dad's. We were in that Hanoi pit of hell together over 5 years. hopefully you'll never have to experience this yourself, but when two men are in a situation like me and your dad were for as long as we were, you take on certain responsibilities of the other. If it had been me who'd not made it, Major Coolidge, you'd be talking right now to my son, Jim. The way it turned out, I'm talking to you. Butch, I got something for you. This watch I got here was first purchased by your great-grandfather during the First World War. It was bought in a little general store in Knoxville, Tennessee. Made by the first company to ever make wristwatches. Up till then, people just carried pocket watches. It was bought by private doughboy Orion Coolidge on the day he set sail for Paris. This was your great-grandfather's war watch, and he wore it every day he was in that war. And he'd done his duty, went home to your great-grandmother, took the watch off, put an old coffee can, and in that can it stayed till your granddad, Dane Coolidge, was called upon by his country to go overseas and fight the Germans once again. This time they called it World War II. Great-grandfather gave this watch to your granddad for good luck. Unfortunately, Dane's luck wasn't as good as his old man's. Dane was a Marine, and he was killed, along with all the other Marines at the Battle of Wake Island. Granddad was facing death. He knew it. None of those boys had any illusions about ever leaving that island alive. So 3 days before the Japanese took the island, your granddad asked a gunner on an Air Force transport named Wanaki, man he never met before in his life, to deliver to his infant son, we'd never seen in the flesh, his gold watch. 3 days later, your granddad was dead, but Wanaki kept his word. After the war was over, he paid a visit to your grandmother, delivering to your infant father his dad's gold watch. This watch. This watch was on your daddy's wrist when he was shot down on Hanoi. He was captured from a Vietnamese prison camp. He knew that if the gooks ever saw the watch, it'd be confiscated, taken away. The way your dad looked at it, this watch was your birthright. You'd be damned if any slope's gonna put the greasy yellow hands on his boy's birthright, so he hid it. In one place he knew he could hide something, his ass. 5 long years he wore this watch, up his ass. Then he died of dysentery. He'd give me the watch. I hid this uncomfortable hunk of metal up my ass, 2 years. Then, after 7 years, I was sent home to my family, and now, little man, I give the watch to you.
But I got an employer up there. And this is the biggest amener that I have in this place tonight is Brother Cyrillus. If America does not fall on its
400 horsepower machinery now serves as a laboratory test rig to explore more advanced concepts in machine design.
So you go to new space to conquer outer space or inner space. To explore it, to learn from it, no, to conquer it, to claim it as yours, to float a flag or something. Of little wires connecting space station, defining whatever. The point is that should that happen, it will control you. And we would suggest here that before that happened, you knew dominion. Past, present, future, similarly were servants. The past to give you the gentle learnings, the compassionate learnings, the reminders, as your attempt to control it. It now clubs you over the head. It now viciously attacks you and grabs you by the throat and shakes you up.
Oh, it doesn't really. Well, we agree, but you act like it does.
Why didn't this work in your real... It's because of my past. It's because of my childhood. It's because of what mother did to me 25, 30, 40, 50 years ago. That's why I couldn't get the job. That's why this relationship failed. That's why this friendship fell apart. That's why I lost the millions in that investment, or the hundreds, or the dollars or two. Sure, your reality, your past comes out and grabs you by the jugular and shakes you. And your whole life falls apart because of it. We didn't decide that. You tell us that. And you tell each other that. And you convince each other of that. Don't you believe me? Do you think I did this on purpose? It really is true. My past really, really, really did do me wrong. I didn't get the proper education. My parents didn't love me good enough. There wasn't enough money. The economy went out. My father lost his job. They got divorced. All these things of the past that you are trying to convince do grab you and shake any success or any happiness or any joy right out of you.
For 4 weeks straight. Now, I do want an hour. It's just, it's soothing. Have you ever smoked? Have you ever smoked
a cigarette?
Sure. Yeah, everybody smoked. And it keeps me from yelling, "Fuck!"
It's a vicious master that at one time was a very patient and compassionate servant that would gently remind you, "Well, this happened before. Maybe I'll do it differently." The present, similarly, was at one time a servant. A feedback mechanism to show you the culmination of all that you are.
To the Lord up in the sky, he says, "Slim, don't never tie a come tie. Ha ha! Ha ha! Ha ha! So when you get a steer that's on the prod, just take your dollies and pray to God, come a tie. I buy from a tie. I."
To show you, am I heading in the right direction or not? To show you, with gentle whispers, with little signals, little signs, delicate messages, that gently nudge you. And in your attempts to take the dominating position in this present, giving it over to the surveyorship of your ego, your present doesn't nudge you gently anymore. It slams you up against the wall. All of a sudden your, quote, life falls apart. Everything is wrong. You're in a swift avalanche. I didn't know. I didn't even see it coming. Sneaky past. Didn't show you. Vicious present. Had this in store for you all along, probably. Why didn't somebody tell me? And your future similarly was at one time a servant, to allow you to dream, to hope, to stretch, to grow. And then you attempted to control it, to use it for your own personal ends, to club people over the head, to hurt them, to control them. You reached there and grabbed your future and smear it in people's faces. I'm going to be famous someday. I'm going to be great. You better treat me good now. Someday when I'm rich and famous, someday when I'm grown up, you'll see. Started way back then. To grab that future, to fend off the past and the present, time and space, which already became vicious masters. And so it too, the future, instead of being the source of your hopes and dreams, is now the source of your nightmares and your fears. And you are enslaved. But you see, there was a time that they were the servants. And that was a time of dominion. In this lifetime, as a small child, time, you were never harried by it. You were never pushed by it. It was there, open and expansive, as much or as little of it as you wanted. Free to roam and to explore it. There was no confinement of space. Space was an intriguing thing to discover and to stretch its boundaries. You had no past. Well, that's because you were just an infant, just born. No, it's because you erased the past. It was wonderful. And the present? It was always opening, always presenting new and exciting opportunities. And the future? What little of it you could grasp was always very exciting. You're going to get to go visit grandmother. Was there something? When do we get there? When do we get there? Much further yet? Much further yet? Seemed like it took forever because of your excitement and anticipation of the future. Well, yeah, but. But what? Well, that was when I was about 6 months old. Yes. And maybe even 7 or 8 or 10 months, or even as much as a year and a half, is even for some of you as much as 2 years. And admittedly, thereafter, it went away. You gave up your dominion. It was ripped away from you, yes, by parents, by society, by education, by philosophy, by psychology, by peers. And you also gave it up in favor of domination. When you look back at it, that's exactly what happened. You started trying to control time and space. And now you were developing a past that you were letting rule you. And a present that was now almost as ugly as it ever was beautiful. And a future that began to be filled with nightmares. And admittedly, parents and teachers encouraged you. You better grow up, you better behave, you better do it right. You better be lucky, you better be glad you're just a kid, that you don't have any responsibility, you're going to grow up. You're going to see the cruel, hard world out there. Look what it's doing to me. I can barely stand it, and then I come home to you. You'll be the death of me, eh? You wait, you'll see. You'll look back someday and wish you could be a kid forever. You'll look back and be grateful for this time of your life. It's cruel out there, it's terrible out there. Oh, it was ripped away from you, all right, but you gave it up too.
which was a finding we came across quite by accident. But they will do it. In other words, it seems to me that if we could discover more about this phenomenon, we might be able to create a type of seed that would endure desert conditions. I mean, we might be able to do something about world hunger.
What about soil samples? What have we seen regarding any research in the soil?
Well, we are not equipped to do really extensive soil work, but we have found an increased nitrate level in the soil where crop circles occur or where they have occurred, as opposed to the controls. The CCCS, the Center for Crop Circle Studies in England, a couple of years ago did mount a very preliminary examination by one of the, oh, it's a local ministry there of agriculture, and they also found increased nitrate levels.
I could think of some things that I would want to do with you. God, you make me so hot. I want to cool off your body. I really want to hear from you. Please call me. These sheets are like a river. I'm so wet with sweat. And I'm waiting for your call to make your body tingle.
Business of conspiracies to suppress new technologies and new discoveries of science dates back centuries. Any new form of technology, engine, or fuel will almost naturally be rejected by those who have a vested interest in the current way of thinking.
In the early part of the 20th century, the airplane, invented by Wilbur and Orville Wright, was rejected by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office because the Wright brothers' idea was so revolutionary from the Patent Office's point of view, it seemed to violate accepted scientific principles of the day. But after a five-year battle, the Supreme Court ruled that the Wright brothers should get their patent. That meant they were finally given legal protection as the owners and licensors of the technology. Preston Tucker didn't fare as well. While his innovation didn't appear to violate scientific principle, he did challenge the status quo. During the 1940s, Tucker produced an automobile that combined race car engineering, aircraft aerodynamics, and innovative safety features. He promised his car would revolutionize the automobile industry. But Detroit wasn't ready for a revolution. To this day, some believe the auto industry conspired with Washington power brokers to ruin Tucker. After only 51 cars rolled off his assembly line, Tucker was out of business.
People are more accepting of corporate greed conspiracies than political or international espionage type conspiracy theories because I think for the most part it has a greater impact, immediate impact on people's lives. They see it in the price of the goods they buy at their supermarket, and it's also in keeping with what they know about the way the world works. Corporations have power, and their goal is to maximize profit, and they're going to use every advantage they can to make sure they maximize their profit.
Today, while oil, natural gas, and atomic energy reign supreme in America, all across the country, inventors are trying to create new forms of energy. Power that is cheap, safe, non-polluting, and readily available. One such technological concept is called fusion, a form of nuclear fusion which occurs in a tabletop apparatus at room temperature. Back in 1989, it was at first lauded as a possible boon to mankind. But later that year, its validity was challenged by scientists at MIT.
I am not trying to question anybody's credibility. I am simply pointing out that on the basis of evidence available to me, I cannot accept the claim.
Nonetheless, the patent office has received hundreds of cold fusion patent submissions. Most have been denied. Ironically, one of just two cold fusion patents granted has been issued to scientists at MIT. The fact that this invention was made with U.S. government support and the government has certain rights in this invention has raised suspicions of conspiracy among those whose patents have been denied.
Cold fusion is regarded as revolutionary science. The general policy, specifically, as recited from the examiners who are in that argument, are that the cold fusion applications are non-useful, non-utilitarian, and cannot be regarded as functional. And this is something that is handed down through the management hierarchy. So each one fears the higher-up reaction if a cold fusion application is allowed.
And you created the reality. You wrote the script of having those big people say those little lines to give you support for what you wanted to do. Give up the dominion and establish domination. You also had dominion when your ego was your assistant. Before you started running from the responsibility, before you let the fear, the alienation, take over. When your ego was the liaison from your inside, outside, inside world. Before you gave it the authority to run your life and started believing its lies.
Are his shoes size 12? Talks about in the Bronco. He talks about them. Remember, there's a question he was asked about gloves, and Lee Bailey asked him about, well, he says, well, he's talking about gloves, and he says, them.
You knew dominion then. But when you gave that authority to the ego, authority it could not handle.
Also, given the realities of the world we live in and the society we're in, what do you really see as an alternative to what's there now?
Well, as consumers of news, people have to be aggressive in searching out non-corporate sources of information. So we're big believers in weekly alternative papers and magazines like The Progressive, or In These Times, or Ms. Magazine, or Z, or Utney Reader. So you got to seek out alternative sources of information. In terms of structural reform, clearly what's needed is we need to have something that the rest of the advanced industrial world has, which is well-funded, truly public broadcasting. We have a situation here where every year or two, Newt Gingrich and the others threaten to turn off the funding to public broadcasting in hopes, which are usually borne out, that public broadcasting will continually become more and more conservative and more timid, and that's generally what's happened.
Abilities it was just as afraid of, if not more afraid of, to handle than you. When you forced your ego to take charge, it sought revenge and has been punishing you ever since.
Following the success of the Navy developed 400 super horsepower superconductive propulsion system, a contractor built 3,000 horsepower system was installed aboard Jupiter 2 in 1983. Several at-sea demonstrations were conducted. The system consists of a gas turbine-driven, oil-cooled, rectified alternator supplying power to a 3,000 horsepower superconductive homopolar motor. Now, the electrical, this is the next paragraph, but this takes us into this new technology. The electrical power at a potential of 100 volts DC and a current of 22,500 amperes. Now here's the situation where we have the tremendous current at the low voltage, and this is what the end machine does. 100 volts DC at 22,500 amperes is transmitted through conducting and reversing switchgear to a superconductive field acyclic motor to turn the propeller at up to 1,200 RPM in either direction. The generator and motor both represent advanced state-of-the-art technology. In particular, the motor incorporates a superconductive field system and advanced design current collectors not previously demonstrated at this power level in a ship at sea. Electric drive systems are characterized by their flexibility of installation, layout, and operational capability. Both of these features are demonstrated in Jupiter 2. The turbo generator is mounted on the upper deck, and the motor is conveniently aligned with the propeller shaft as dictated by overall ship design constraints. The central controller interprets the control level commands and manages the system through control of turbine fuel, generator field, and switchgear operation to smoothly provide and maintain the required propeller revolutions in either direction. This 3,000 horsepower system demonstrates future full-scale technology, which, with proper support and technology development, should lead to fleet-ready hardware. And the fleet-ready hardware is what's talked about in an earlier...
Those aren't going to be ready to get blown up in the Persian Gulf, though, are
No, they? That's such obsolete stuff. That, see, what they want, this was described in a paper from General Electric in April 12th, 1976.
Well, theirs wouldn't work.
What?
If General Electric put one together, they say it doesn't work.
Well, GE is working on it. The ongoing Navy Advanced Technology Project, I'm quoting, on superconducting electrical machinery for ship propulsion includes the development of a number of attractive liquid metal current collector designs for both high-speed generators and low-speed propulsion motors. These current collectors are being developed at Air Research Manufacturing Company of California, and that's in Los Angeles here, General Electric Research Company and Development Center. They're being included in the 3,000 horsepower experimental propulsion systems, which are scale models of 40,000 horsepower systems.
Think of it. Think of it. How would you respond, assuming your ego has human feelings? How would you respond if someone came along and said, you are now responsible for this entire operation? But shut up. Just do it. No argument, no lip. Just do it. You're in charge of this, what? San Diablo nuclear plant. And you can't shut it down. You gotta make it operate right. You're in charge of GM. You're in charge of the country. And you can't walk away from it, and you can't take a holiday. You must operate it. And you can't ask any questions. Just do it. You might be a little ticked off. You might get a little angry. You might decide, all right, I'll show you. I'll get you for this. And your ego did. And it gets you by lying to you all the time. It has never once told you the truth. Your ego has never once in as many years as you are old told you the truth, but yet you buy it and you believe it every single time. It's got you. It's got you by the nape of your neck. It's got you. Until you realize and take back your power. But that's when you knew dominion. Before you turned your ego into the master, when it was your assistant. Thirdly,
every time I see myself going, oh, I shouldn't say that, it's bad for my image, I go, what image? There's no image here, man. What am I doing? That's precisely why people like this show. You got to watch out for that. Don't become a star.
He He understood prisons. He was a strong, so much more powerful in prison. It's just that in prison, his acting is much better.
Yeah.
He was unconvincing on the outside. He's always acting a role. In prison, the roles he acts are roles that he plays with great skill.
It has brought you here, not in self-honoring. Parts of it are becoming. Most of it serves you not at all.
Cold fusion isn't the only budding technology seeking patent office approval. For some two decades, inventor Joseph Newman has battled the patent office, trying to get a patent for his energy machine, which he says harnesses the power of electromagnetic energy. Newman, who has chronicled his struggle in a self-published book, asserts that once his invention is fully perfected, it could be hooked up in a person's backyard and connected to an external power source, like a battery, and create enough energy to run an entire home for pennies a day. He says his machine could also power a car, a boat, an airplane, virtually anything. Newman says he knows why he hasn't gotten a patent.
If I have an energy source that I say I do, that will do away with oil, knowing what you've seen the oil people do, the cigarette people do, the power brokers do, would you expect they would get behind me and make their product obsolete? Or do you think they would take all of their power and all of their influence and fight me tooth and nail?
My years of work speaks for itself. And I put it out to
Newman's fight began in 1979 when his initial application was denied. The reason, according to the patent office, it violated scientific principle.
You get more power out than what you put in. These meters here...
In other words, Newman claims his invention is over 100% efficient. This concept, called overunity, is an apparent contradiction of currently accepted scientific principles. That's a problem when confronting the patent office.
We, as examiners, are not trained to investigate new technology. We're essentially not equipped to recognize new technology. All we can recognize is something that's different than the previous established art. Therefore, when something that is a quantum leap from what is even recognizable comes into our hands, the immediate reaction is not only to reject it, but reject it with extreme prejudice.
So despite the fact that Newman provided the patent office with dozens of affidavits from scientists who agreed that his machine was revolutionary, the patent office turned him down. Newman was convinced it was because of a conspiracy.
I know a lot of the inventors like to believe, or they say, that perhaps there's a major conspiracy between the government and the oil companies, which have a vested interest in keeping the status quo, and that means that this new technology must be suppressed. Well, maybe that plays into it, but I think an even more subtle form of conspiracy is this attitude that it's impossible. It's dismissed as quackery. This is the way it's been throughout time.
But Newman's fight was just beginning. He took his case to court. Following patent law procedure, the judge appointed a special master, an expert in patent law and science, to determine if Newman's invention deserved a patent. As it turned out, the special master said it did, because the evidence is overwhelming that Newman has built and tested a prototype of his invention in which the output energy exceeds the external input energy. However, Newman still didn't get his patent because the court refused to make a decision, would not accept or reject the special findings, and instead put the onus on Newman to demonstrate the operability of his invention.
Violated the federal law, and that they didn't accept the special master's findings, even though they nominated the man. He had been a former commissioner of patents. I was charged $11,000 for it. It was a charade. They have consistently put me through the ringer
in trying to keep this technology down, because if the power brokers do not want this technology out.
While Newman accused the patent office of conspiracy, many others also suspected he wasn't getting a fair shake and joined his fight. A Republican study report in 1986 said, Joseph Newman has received arbitrary and unfair treatment at the hands of the PTO and Judge Jackson. Congress should act because the executive and judicial branches have failed this American citizen. As a result, 11 congressmen submitted bills that would give Newman his patent. But all 11 bills were killed in committee by Representative Robert Kastenmeier. In a letter to a concerned citizen, Kastenmeier wrote, "You should know that official representatives of President Reagan have indicated their opposition to Mr. Newman's private relief bills. Thus, unless the president changes his position, legislation on this topic is unlikely." To Joe Newman, the writing of this letter, among many other circumstances surrounding his battle to get a patent, is a smoking gun. He believes it is proof of a conspiracy to stop him that went all the way to the White House, which he claims acted on behalf of the oil companies.
I think that they chose to use their power with the U.S. Patent Office, which was Donald Quigg, who was the Commissioner of Patents. Donald Quigg had been with Phillips Petroleum for 38 years as a high executive before he was appointed as Commissioner of Patents by Ronald Reagan. He fought this tooth and nail.
When an appellate judge found that Newman's rights had been violated in his previous trial, the court ordered the National Bureau of Standards to test Newman's machine. But even before the test, NBS examiners said the machine would not work. Though the judge later found this evidence of a certain bias, a representative of the patent office defends this position.
I would think that that would not be unfair. And the reason for that is, I as a scientist would automatically, if somebody came to me and says, I have a machine that has an efficiency greater than 100%, I would say impossible. I mean, I'm a scientist. I know that.
When the NBS was ordered by the court to test Newman's machine, it attempted to get him to pay $100,000 to pay for the tests. It even took a lien on his house. Newman accused the NBS of extortion, and the court ordered the NBS to drop its demand. Then the NBS asked the court for permission to destroy Newman's machine if necessary during the tests. Permission was denied.
It's the only one for which I have asked that. But it turned out it was unnecessary because the device had a very low efficiency. And there was no reason to destroy the machine. Well, it wasn't just low efficiency. There was no reason to destroy it. We could test it. We got the results. We found out that it did not work.
And you'd be able to run your particular test on it.
Okay,
Newman said it didn't work because the NBS testers grounded his machine, despite the fact that his schematics specifically showed the machine was not to be grounded. Transcripts of court hearings bear Newman out.
They had been sent specific directions, and even between the correspondents among themselves, they admitted it was not to be grounded.